extend a welcome to each one. Happy for the presence of each one. God bless you for being here. Greetings in the name of Jesus. As always, I sense my humanity and covet your prayers to be clear in the Word of God. It would seem that my notes are posted on the church group for all to see. Once again, the devotional and the Sunday school touched on points that I planned to share this morning. And to me, it is a confirmation of God at work again. So thank you for the things that we heard this morning. I was inspired. You can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he hath wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, I feel a little bit like the Apostle Paul in reading this. Maybe you know where my mind is going. In verse 15, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, my mind is again on the happenings of the last few weeks and six young people that given their hearts to the Lord and the joy in that surrounds. We talked about that last Sunday, the joy in the church and the joy in the presence of God and the angels and the exceeding joy that Jesus, someday when he presents us to the Father. So my mind was going around the topic of salvation and the wonder of it to watch this happen in the lives of six young people. It is amazing, and it is a miracle. So my mind was going around that. And this is my burden and desire for each one of us in verses 17 to 19, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The Amplified Bible says it this way, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insights into the mysteries and secrets in the deep, intimate knowledge of him. So that's where my mind was going this morning. In thinking of salvation, of the mysteries and secrets and wonders that surround it, it can't be... There's no way that that I could stand up here this morning and express it all. So my mind was going down the thought of that, and I was thinking of a title. And I was thinking of the wonder of salvation. I thought maybe I would go with the seven wonders of salvation, you know, thinking of the seven wonders of the world. Things that are, the dictionary defines wonder as a feeling of amazement and admiration caused by something beautiful, remarkable, or unfamiliar. The Hebrew word, the theme of the wonders of God, you'll find it many times throughout Scripture, starting very early in the Bible. That means hard, hidden things, too high, marvelous, and miracles. So I was thinking of the seven wonders of salvation, but that just doesn't cut it. The seven wonders of salvation. There is so much more. It is so simple yet so complex that we could spend all eternity talking about it and not be done. So that didn't cut it. And then my mind went to the song that we sometimes sing. And this is the title of the message this morning, The Wonder of It All. The wonder of it all. All that surrounds God and salvation and all that He's done for us, the wonder of it all. The purpose of the message should be simple, that we see and experience the wonders of God and that our sight would produce worship and obedience. I went for a walk last night, trying to put things together in my mind. And if you haven't picked up on that already, it is a struggle for me to put my thoughts down on paper. And I was going for a walk just thinking of this all. And as my eyes adjusted to the dark, I looked up into the heavens. And just to see the wonder of creation, the heavens were alive with the twinkling stars, and I suppose it was Elon's satellites or whatever they are up there, but things were just alive up there. And I know that is the work of man, but it is only because of the orderliness of God and creation that can exist. And I was amazed by it, in awe of it. And I cried out to God to show me to reveal Himself. And then I was smote by that because the heavens were alive, and He does reveal Himself, and we got to see that, and we got to worship Him for the things. So to ask for more when He is giving us everything, the wonder of it all. So that is my burden this morning, that we see the wonders of God, we feel them in the heart, we experience it. And it produces a worship and obedience. So this morning, I plan to briefly, like I said, I want to talk of some of the wonders of God, the wonders that surround salvation. And we could spend all of eternity, like I said before, and not come close to exhausting everything that surrounds God and salvation. So my method this morning is to touch on it so that you are inspired by it and that you go home and continue to think about it and to study it and dwell on it and cause your heart to well up in worship. The first wonder that we want to think of this morning is the wonder of God's love. It's hard to know where to start. But can you go wrong with the love of God when we think of the wonders of God? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I think sometimes that we become callous to that love because we've heard it from the time that we were a little child, that God so loved the world. But if you put yourself as a father, giving up your only son, that God loved the world that much that he was willing to give up his only son, and that Jesus loved us that much that he was willing to give up of his life and suffer and die for us. You know, when we were in Sunday school this morning, the story of Rahab again stood out to me in a new way, that is that another wonder of God's love? That God, where does it say? I didn't write that verse down, but real love is when somebody would die for their friend. But what kind of love dies for a sinner? Someone that is against you. That can only be divine love. So the story of Rahab the harlot, to me, again, is confirmation of God's love. Someone that is in the lineage of Jesus, that has that kind of history, is it's just the wonder of God's love. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Verses 6 through 8. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." There it is again. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I mentioned it before, but there are the verses. Christ died for the ungodly. How can I say more about that? We struggle to love someone that has wronged us in some small way. When Christ actually suffered and died for those that hated him, those that were his enemies. And you know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we've all been the enemies of Christ. Ephesians says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. There's a children's song that I remember singing when I was a boy that talks about the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. So high you can't get over it. So low you can't get under it. So wide you can't get around it. Oh, wonderful love. Do you children know that song? That's the unfathomable love of Jesus. The wonder. And if that's all we could talk about the love of God all morning. Like I said, I just wanted to touch on these things to stir within your hearts, that you begin to think about it. The second wonder of salvation, that I have here is the wonder that God became flesh. There's another song that says, he left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny. You know, Jesus being God, you know, in salvation, the devil was full. He thought that he trapped Jesus when he was nailed to the cross. But Jesus entered into it knowing everything, knowing his destiny. Yet he left the splendor of heaven knowing that destiny. That is something to think about. Philippians 2, verse 6 and 7, talking about Jesus, who being in the form of God, he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You have to, if you're human like me, you have to wonder, why would Jesus do that? You know, God being God, was there not another way that didn't require so much of his son and so much suffering on Jesus' part and death? And why would Jesus become flesh as a part of the plan of salvation? Well, we may never completely understand that, but there are some verses that have touched me. Why would Jesus become flesh? Well, here's one of them. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says, Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, yet without sin. The word touch means he is able to sympathize or commiserate with our humanity. Now, that's hard for me to wrap my mind around, because Jesus, as God, as our Creator, He understands us. He understands us through and through. Why did he have to become flesh so that he could understand us in a fuller way? Does that make sense with God? It seems to be saying maybe it's for us that we could better connect with Jesus. I don't know. I don't know if Hebrews 2, verse 17 says this. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. It says that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Again, it seems that it added a dimension that he became flesh. It added a dimension to his experience. Maybe I'm wrong. And maybe it is all for us that it adds a dimension that he was human. And we know that he was in all points like us. But that touches me this morning. If Jesus did it for us, the worship and love that we should have for him so that we can connect with him in a real way. So I think, however that we, whatever we take away from that God became flesh, is that he chose to become flesh for me. That's a wonder of God that we just can't wrap our minds around. The third point, the wonder that he died for me. It's staggering. It's staggering to think that Jesus, in John 3:16, we read that, where it says, for God so loved the world. It's staggering to think about that God did this, that Jesus went through what he did for the sins of the world. There is there's other verses that say that he did it for the world. But it even makes it more unfathomable to know that he did it for me. The verse that Eugene had for a text last Sunday, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me individually. John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I don't think that was the verse that we read earlier, but it was something like that. If there is no greater love to lay down your life for your friends, what kind of love does it take to lay down your life for somebody that has wronged you? I mentioned that before. But that is divine love. We've all sinned. We've all been the enemies of Christ. Yet he died for me. It's another wonder of salvation that when Christ was hanging on the cross, that he had us on his mind, that he could... He was doing it for the world, yet in that he was doing it for us each individually. It's hard to wrap your mind around that. But it should inspire us to worship him. The fourth point on the wonder of salvation is the wonder of his mercy and grace. Now, if you... Sometimes we mix them up. Mercy is not receiving what I deserve. We deserve judgment and death. That's mercy. It's not receiving what I deserve. Grace is receiving what I do not deserve. In Psalms 51, when David... He pled for God's mercy after his sin. He pled for God's mercy, asking him to show kindness and withhold the judgment that he rightly deserved. And God did. That's mercy. And the thing that is so staggering to me about that is that God would, if it stopped at mercy, God would be giving us much more than we deserve in just withholding judgment from us. But it doesn't stop at that. There's the wonder of his grace. In Christ, we receive everything. And again, I cannot give you the scope of that. But in Christ, we have eternal salvation. We have forgiveness of sins, abundant life. We have his kindness and love and peace and joy and so on. The wonder of God's grace, where he has given us more. He's given us what we do not deserve. The fifth point is the wonder of forgiveness. And Carl, in his devotion, touched on this very well. Psalms 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And he explained very well that the east and the west never touch. And that is so inspiring to me, that God completely removes... And in our humanity, we have these small offenses. I'm talking to myself, and I'm sure that you can understand with me. But we have these small offenses that a lot of times are you know, they're... Sometimes we have rightful, you know, we can be hurt by it. But sometimes it's just the small offenses that can be the hardest to forgive. maybe we feel it's a lifetime of things stacking up that we finally reach the point where we've just had enough. And the person asks us to forgive, and we say, I want to forgive you, but it may take me a while. And the wonder of forgiveness with God is that no one has experienced what God has in our rejection of him and the rejection of humanity. No one has experienced what God has, but when we come to the foot of the cross, he removes it as far as the east is from the west. We may struggle with forgiveness, but not God. In Isaiah 43:25, he says, I, even I, he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. He says, I will not remember thy sins. I love the word blotted. I know that I have mentioned that many times here. But it has the thought of to stroke out or to rub off, by implication to erase. And that is what the blood of Jesus does. Those offenses that we have committed against God, the blood of Jesus blots it out. Covers it over. It is remembered no more. Ephesians 1:17, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The wonder of forgiveness. Too high, too deep. We can't wrap our minds around it. The sixth point is the wonder of adoption. Galatians 4 through 7. You can turn with me there if you want. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The wonder of adoption, that we can go from, how does Ephesians say it? In Ephesians 2, it says, that we were aliens without God. We had no rightful claim. We're not Jews. Yet God brought us into the family whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He's our Father. And we have all the rights of sonship. We are an heir with Christ. The seventh point, the wonder of a changed heart. The wonder of a changed heart. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You know, to you youth, that have given your hearts to the Lord, I still see Shane and Sherwin and Shad, Miranda, Ashley, Gianna. I still see your faces. But there's something different. There is a new creation. I see God at work. And I don't know, these the wonders, these this one has to to be near the top, but they all are. I don't know how to. The wonder of a changed heart. How can you go from a saint to a sinner in a moment? The simplicity of salvation, where there is no way, as long as there is life, as long as you have the ability to think in your mind, there's no way to stop it. No man can stand in the way when you, by faith, claim the blood of Christ and confess your sins. You are a changed creature from that moment. That's another one of the great wonders. Well, the eighth point, and I call this the wonder of wonders. What do you think the wonder of wonders is? Can somebody make some guesses? Maybe it's different to you. There is a song that says the wonder of wonders. What is it? What is the wonder of wonders? Okay. Jesus. I call the wonder of wonders, and it's part of the Rose of Sharon, but the wonder of wonders that God loves me. We talked about love already, but how can, in our humanity and everything that besets us and our proneness to forget God, I said to you last night how I walked out there and I was seeing God, but yet sometimes I think our actions are an affront to Him. We miss some things. And the wonder of wonders that God loves me individually. I mentioned this with the wonder that He died for me, but again, I think of in John 3:16. That God loved the world, but yet, in all of that, in loving the world, He loved me individually. He loved me and gave Himself for me. God commended His love toward us, and while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and that includes you and me. In Matthew 10, it talks about that Jesus says, God sees even the sparrow fall. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if God can see the sparrow fall, it says, how much greater are you? How much greater is us? And He knows the very hairs of our head. That's how intimately He knows you and me. Well, we may spend eternity, we could spend eternity exploring His wonders and still not be done. But many that we haven't touched on, that salvation is a free gift. It says in Ephesians that it is the gift of God. And yet in Matthew, Jesus says, if you hate not your father and mother, so it's a free gift, yet it costs you everything. Is that not a wonder? Or the simplicity of salvation, how simple it is, where you confess, repent, and believe. Yet the mystery and complexity around it, that you could spend eternity exploring it and not be done. Wonder upon wonder. Well, the wonders is only begun. To each one of you this morning, especially to the young people that have just given their heart to the Lord, but to all of us. Isaiah 29:14 says this, Behold, I will proceed or continue to do a marvelous work among this people. Can we claim that this morning? I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. And the ESV says this, the end phrase says, with wonder upon wonder. I will continue to do a work up. among this people, wonder upon wonder. Since the beginning of time, God has been doing wonders. He did it with the children of Israel. He did it all through the Bible. Yet you young people that have given your heart to the Lord, and each one of us is evidence that God is still working wonders today. And he will continue to do that until the end of time. But even when we reach the end of time, the wonders of God have hardly begun. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 said, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. Neither entered into the heart of man. That means you can't even imagine it. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The wonders have only begun. Haven't even begun. The wonders of God will never end. They will continue on into eternity, world without end. In the song Amazing Grace, it says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. After 10,000 years, we have no less days. Well, God bless each one of you as we strive to live for the Lord. May the wonders of God inspire you to live for him who died for you. And that born out of that, born out of that inspiration of the wonders that God has done for us, would this come forth? Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. May God add his blessing. We'll call for a song.